Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrar's Food Safety Inc. podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions relevant to both the food safety industry as well as cannabis and hemp. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjrfsi.com/webinars or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Everyone, or good morning, depending on your time zone. Welcome to today's webinar, Canada Gap, Overview and Benefits of Certification. My name's Amy. I'm a member of the marketing team here at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer technical support to our speakers. Today, we're welcoming not only Chris Reno, a member of the PJRFSI team, to the session, but Jackie Wachholz as well. She's a consultant with GCP Consulting, and we'll be introducing Jackie and Chris to you momentarily. But now I really quickly want to introduce Chris Reno. He is part of the PJRFSI team. Chris, you want to say hi to everybody?
Yeah, thank you so much, Amy. I don't want to take up a lot of time right now because we do have a lot of really great content today. But during the Q&A, I'll also share contact information. So if anyone has questions post-webinar, you've got someone to reach out to for anything that you might need.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. Chris is here to answer any of your questions about FSI certification, our processes, things like that. But our main attraction, so to speak, today is Jackie Wachholz. She is going to be able to tell us all about Canada Gap. Jackie, thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, everyone. Yes. So my name is Jackie Wachholz. I'm a consultant and an auditor. I have been consulting with GCP Consulting on Canada Gap since it pretty much came out in Canada in about 2009. And between 2009 and now, GCP Consulting continues to consult for Canada Gap with many companies. So I've consulted with growers, packing houses, warehouse distribution, brokers, just about all the categories that Canada Gap does cover. So I just wanted to use this opportunity to explain to you folks what I know about Canada Gap, advantages of Canada Gap, that it is GFSI recognized, and really just for anybody who's not familiar with it, to give you some basic understanding and ask whatever questions that you guys may have.
Awesome. Thank you again, Jackie, for taking the time to work with us. You should have control of the slides like we practiced earlier, so if you want to take it away whenever you're ready, that's fine.
You got it. Thanks, Amy. Okay, so there's a lot of detail in this slide presentation. It will be made available to all of our listeners after the presentation. So I'm not going to dwell on too many of the slides, just really give you highlights. But again, this presentation will be available to you, and it's a really good training tool, and it will allow you to become familiar with Canada Gap. So as I said before, Canada Gap is GFSI recognized. Its scope includes growers, it includes packing houses, it includes greenhouses, it includes warehouse and distribution, and it also includes within its scope just brokerage. So it can be as simple as brokerage in and out, or we can have some that are growers and then packers, and the Canada Gap standard covers all of these operations. As you see on this slide, so the Canada Gap explains all the different aspects of the program Canada Gap covers. So it would be like any other GFSI standard, even like for processing plants, all what you're accustomed to see in prerequisite programs and what they cover. So ag chemicals, equipment, cleaning and maintenance, waste management, personal hygiene, training, visitors, pest control, water, cleaning, ice, and it goes on. Switching the slide. Canada Gap is unique from other GFSI standards. And the way it is unique is the Canada Gap actually provides you with a comprehensive Canada Gap manual to complete to show conformance to the standard. and also includes all records you're going to need, all templates of records. So you do not need to customize anything. So there are annual forms, which will cover annual risk assessments, and they're listed here. So where you see, you know, building sketch or B storage assessment, all of these are templates for records provided by Canada Gap at no cost to complete to facilitate your program development. So the next slide. Again, as I said, all records that you're going to need to become Canada Gap compliant and do your record recording, again, are provided by Canada Gap. So these are ongoing forms. So where you might be used to having to create your own forms, for example, like equipment cleaning, maintenance, and calibration, the records are already there for you to use. So as I go through the presentation, I'll add some other aspects. But with all these forms being in place, what that does is it makes it really easy and really user-friendly to develop your Canada Gap program. Again, the resources provided by Canada Gap for free are very, very good. So they have a whole list of appendices, which gives you the background and the science behind different parts of the program. So G, water testing, will explain compliance to water testing, what Canada Gap is looking for, the science behind it. It's all there for you to see, and it's all accessible through Canada Gap's website for manual and document downloads. So again, Canada Gap, it's based on HACCP. Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point. So by using the Canada Gap manual and its records and all the things it supplies is based on a HACCP principle and has been benchmarked by GFSI that if you follow the Canada Gap program, you are also following HACCP. It's embedded within the program that is being provided to you. Okay, and this slide as well explains that it's HACCP compliant. And when Canada Gap was being created, they worked closely with CFIA to make sure that it was HACCP compliant. Now, we talk a lot, as I mentioned, Canada Gap, there may be the misconception that this is a program for Canada. It was developed in Canada, but it is GFSI recognized. So that means all the major retailers recognize that as GFSI, similar to Primus and Global Gap. It's just an easier, more concise risk-based program to follow and get your GFSI certification. Scope. So I spoke about the scope, what Canada Gap will cover. So it'll cover growers, packing houses, warehouse and distribution, so produce in and out, and brokerage, where the produce isn't actually landing anywhere. It can be coming from the US into Canada, direct to a customer, and Canada Gap will still cover that, and it covers greenhouses as well. And again, so it's based on the HACCP model, and depending on the commodity and what you're growing, there's specific aspects of Canada Gap to work for the different commodity growing. So mushrooms will be different from potatoes, which are different from apples, and all of that is contained within the Canada Gap manual, so you customize it to your operation. As I'm going through, anybody have any questions, please make sure to write them down and we'll deal with them. I'd rather spend time at the end of this webinar answering questions that are specific to what you're looking for. This flowchart, again, it just explains where Canada Gap sits as GFSI and the relationships between the HACCP model, buyers, what they're looking for, and CFIA's technical review of the program to ensure that it's GFSI compliant. Again, how the manual is organized. There's the main manual, which you go through and complete, explains everything to you. then all the records you're going to need to complete, ongoing and annual records, are provided, and as well in appendices with just the science background for all the programs for you to dig deeper into it. It's all there in one place, everything that you will need. Having said that, we've been consulting at GCP Consulting with Canada Gap for 13 years. The cost of a consultant and the consultant's time to do a Canada Gap program versus Global Gap or Primus or the BRC, the processing standards, is significantly reduced, because all the records are already there. The manual is already there. The manual contains the SOPs that you're going to need. So that's a really important piece to take away. It's easier to manage. And if you choose to get a consultant for support, there's going to be much less time for the consultant to develop the program than other standards. So this just gives some more background about Canada Gap and how it covers GMPs and it covers the HACCP programs. So again, any of you that are familiar with audits, whether it's processing BRC or Global Gap or Primus, Canada Gap covers all the prerequisite programs that you would need. So this one is Primus. Building equipment would be covered within that program. More about building equipment and maintenance. Again, all the records, all the requirements are in there for those prerequisite programs. It covers the use of agricultural chemicals. Again, more about agricultural chemicals. Again, highlighting equipment. More about equipment. Speaks to biological, chemical, and physical contamination, which is the HACCP model, which you are benchmarking your program against. Calibrations would be included in that. Cleaning and maintenance. Sanitation is included within the Canada Gap program in the manual, including records. Storage practices are included. Waste management is included. More on waste management. More on waste management. Having said that, because Canada Gap is an international standard and it is GFSI, so Canada Gap will take into consideration the legal requirements for chemicals and ag chemicals in the country that the program is working at. So it's not based on Canada legal regulations with respect to ag chemicals, but rather the regulations in the company where the facility is growing or packing. So personal hygiene facilities, very important to Canada Gap is hygiene. So hand washing, everything in the plant, you know, that's largely when we speak about products like leafy greens that are ready to eat, that it's very important to Canada Gap requires a high level of hygiene and scores the audit accordingly. Employee training is covered in Canada Gap, including records and training materials. Again, more resources on employee training. Visitor policy, part of security, so just like other standards, it covers off, it provides you with a visitor sign-in sheet, visitor regulations, everything, all of that is provided to you. It covers pest control. It allows for self-managed pest control or a third party. Again, within the manual and the records, everything you need is provided to you for that prerequisite program. Covers water, so it covers agricultural water, washing water for produce. Building cleaning, the appendices explains different water sources. So there's provisions for municipal water, for well water, recycled water, whatever the case is for your operation, Canada Gap will cover that off and make sure you're meeting the requirements as far as testing water. Again, we talked about water. ICE, if an operation uses ICE, that's covered as well in Canada GAAP. Storage, so storage for packaging materials for produce, that is covered as well. Okay, so again, a heavy emphasis on hygiene in Canada GAAP. And then how you handle, whether it's harvested product or market product that's coming in and out, it handles that, including records to track. So traceability, obviously, within Canada GAAP, if you follow the forms, it will provide full traceability from the seed being grown all the way through to the packing house and the shipping. So it includes sorting and grading, packing and repacking, and then any other materials you might be used. So ethylene, for instance, in ripening bananas would be considered an other material. Environmental monitoring program. So Canada GAAP is risk-based, so it doesn't prescribe that you need to have an environmental monitoring program as far as swabbing, like in the packing house, but they leave it up to you based on your risk assessment. So Canada GAAP has many items where they don't prescribe what the facility needs to do. They look for your risk assessment, and based on your risk assessment, you assess what controls you put in place. Supplier approval, like all standards, it is a big one. So Canada GAAP does require, if you are purchasing produce coming in, that you have a supplier approval program in place, which means you know where the product came from and what certifications that facility might have. So transportation is covered in Canada GAAP. More on transportation. Traceability, obviously, that's one of the most important prerequisite programs. It's the records are fully linked in what is provided in Canada GAAP for you to use to effectively trace product. So more about traceability. This flow diagram summarizes the list of Canada GAAP forms that you would use and how they give you full traceability. So Canada GAAP also has procedures for deviations, to recognize deviations, solve the problem, fix it, root cause analysis, and move forward. And again, Canada GAAP, if you have a deviation, you identify it, you fix it, and you have a process so that it won't happen again and root cause analysis, then Canada GAAP will accept that and not consider that a non-conformance because you found it, identified it, and fixed it. Okay, more about deviations and corrective actions. Crisis management. So another interesting thing with Canada GAAP is almost every year it looks to, you know, the food processing standards and GFSI requirements. And as GFSI requirements change, Canada GAAP will upgrade their manuals and their systems so it consistently meets with GFSI requirements. So example of that would be a crisis management plan. Again, there's templates to take you through your crisis management risk assessment. And if you follow the plan and do the records and the SOPs, you will have that crisis management plan in place. And again, that's all contained in the manuals and the records that can be provided to you. Complaint handling, there's obviously Canada GAAP deals with that as well. Food defense, again, that's something new because it's GFSI's requirement. So within the program, your food defense and food fraud programs will be handled and documented. Food safety culture, again, continuous improvement with food safety. Canada GAAP provides framework within the documentations for that as well. So HACCP plan, as I described earlier, it's based on a HACCP model, Depending on the scope of the program, some Canada Gap scopes require you a written HACCP plan and others do not. Again, within the Canada Gap framework, there's procedures on how to create your own HACCP plan if you need to do that. So in summary, before I invite questions, so just really to highlight the advantages of Canada Gap, it's a very concise program. Everything you need is provided by Canada Gap. It's still a good idea to have a consultant to oversee it. And there's some items that often are maybe easier for a consultant to write, like an environmental monitoring risk assessment, a HACCP plan if you need it. So again, the amount of time a consultant would have to spend on this program versus other GFSI standards would be quite a bit reduced. The other thing that I need to highlight, Canada Gap has different options. So the different options are, some of them are GFSI benchmarked, so they're a little bit more comprehensive. Canada Gap has also come out with other options, which will give you a Canada Gap certificate, but the requirements are a little bit less. The only difference is that's not GFSI recognized. However, that option is a good stepping stone to get to GFSI. So if you're going into year one of getting Canada Gap certified, you might want to choose one of the non-GFSI benchmark options as a starter and then graduate in your following year to the GFSI option. That's it for me. Thanks for the time. And Amy and Chris, we'll see if we have some questions from the audience.
Absolutely, Jackie. I do encourage anyone who's here still with us, if you wanted to drop in your questions or comments, if you haven't already, go ahead and do so in the questions tab there. If there were any slides, I know we went through that pretty quickly. I wanted to make sure we had time to get to questions at the end. If there were any slides you wanted us to go back and revisit that you wanted to look at in more detail, just let us know and I can absolutely scroll back through the deck there and find what you were looking for. But Jackie, just from your perspective as an auditor and a consultant, what areas of Canada Gap certification do people seem to have the most trouble with?
I think for first time people embarking on a food safety audit, I would say environmental monitoring risk assessment is something that a consultant can probably put together for you fairly quickly. HACCP plan development. So again, some of the options require a written HACCP plan and some do not, depending on the complexity of the operation. So again, writing a HACCP plan is something that a consultant can really help with. And I think it's more, you know, as you go through the manual, there's just questions, right? You know, does this apply to me? Doesn't it? So just that support, I think, for first time certification helps a lot. I mean, the feedback I get from customers and my personal feedback is they're really quite impressed when they see the resources available from Canada Gap for this certification in the manuals and the appendices and all the records and the checklists. You know, and then you can always sort of the baseline is not to say Canada Gap does 100% allow custom forms. So if you don't like Canada Gap forms or you want to make some of your own, that's completely fine as well. You know, and typically what you see, like with any audit standards, your first time Canada Gap certification, you know, the program develops and improves every year as you work the program. So the feedback I generally get for this is quite good. And I think that the questions or the obstacles when we talked about, you know, if someone outside of Canada hears Canada Gap, they might think it's a Canadian standard and it's not. It's gained the GFSI recognition. So I think from people developing, understanding clearly that this is an audit standard that you can go to first time that will be GFSI and the major retailers will recognize it.
Maybe that should be the subtitle of our next Canada Gap webinar, for more than just Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, like Jackie said, I get, you know, being here in the U.S., I will get a lot of clients that will call in and ask, hey, what are some of the differences between Canada Gap and, you know, some of these other standards that, you know, maybe a SQF or BRC. And I think a lot of times going through it the first time where I see a lot of the nonconformances, or, you know, hear feedback from the clients on the nonconformances they get, a lot of times it's on the paperwork. You know, the facility audit's great, but they're missing a lot of things from the document review. And that's something where, you know, a 30-minute call with someone like Jackie could really knock all those things out and really kind of give you a, hey, this is what they're going to be looking for. So, you know, my suggestion would be to, you know, first-time clients, you know, definitely you might want to talk to someone just to make sure that your paperwork, you know, and the scope of everything that the auditor is going to want to see, you're prepared for. That way you're not getting a non-conformance because you forgot to put in your recall notice, you know, something like that. So that's definitely an area where I see a lot of customers, you know, kind of build up those non-conformances. However, they're also some of the easiest to fix, right? But anytime you're working with a consultant, you know, we always say, you know, if you go out and you work with Jackie's group, I know as well as our technical team that a lot of that is going to be covered and really be beneficial to the client. So it really kind of helps all of us out because it gives us a lot of confident, you know, going out to perform the audit. You know, we know they're going to do well because, you know, we have worked with a lot of these consultants in the past. We know they just do a great job. So it really makes it a little bit easier for us because we know that when we show up, everyone is going to be ready.
Absolutely, Chris. Now, Jackie, you had mentioned the possibility for, you know, a first-time certification client, the possibility of starting with maybe a less rigorous version of Canada Gap and then proceeding to a more, you know, quote-unquote advanced option. How's the process of transitioning there? Would you just enact the different policies that are not part of that initial certification?
Yeah. It's really quite straightforward. So just for the certifications that aren't GFSI certified, the main difference is the options that are not GFSI benchmarked, they will allow a passing grade of 85%. And there are parts of the Canada Gap standard, a handful, that aren't required for that option, the non-GFSI option. So it allows a facility to score 85 or above and get their Canada Gap certificate. The GFSI benchmark Canada Gap options, they require all nonconformances to be fixed to bring you up to 100% before you get your certificate. So that's where the main difference is. And new in 2021, and that's what's really changed the industry a little bit, and this was brought down by GFSI and basically imposed on Canada Gap. What we're seeing now as far as the supplier approval program, that your audits require, so if you are purchasing produce from a grower, the Canada Gap now requires that grower to have a recognized third-party food safety certificate. So where that wasn't a requirement before, or if they didn't have it, it didn't have to be fixed, you could still buy from them the following year. Now, if you're doing a GFSI benchmark Canada Gap option, all of your growers have to have a recognized third-party food safety audit. So that's really changing things in the industry. So a Canada Gap GFSI benchmark standard will get a non-conformance from purchasing from a grower that doesn't have a third-party food safety audit. That grower will either have to get their third-party audit to conform, or the packing house will have to stop buying from them. So that's really changed the industry since 2021, putting a lot more pressure on growers to get, whether it's Canada Gap or another third-party food safety certification. So every year things get a little bit more tight with respect to supplier approval.
Yeah, Jackie, it looks like we actually have Heather Gale from Canada Gap on the webinar today. Heather, nice to see you in the audience. She had some points of clarification through the question box here. She said options E and F require 95% on the audit. A1 and A2, like you said, have the 85% requirement. And then B, C, and D, the GFSI recognized ones, require 100% compliance. So thank you, Heather, for speaking up on that topic.
Thanks, Heather.
Heather, come back for another webinar with us. For the rest of the audience, we do have a previously recorded webinar. I believe it was just over a year ago, we had Heather on for a webinar on Canada Gap. We absolutely encourage you to go check that out if you want some more Canada Gap information. It is available on our YouTube channel for free. I do see a question here from someone who they say, I'm new to the world of food safety certification, and you mentioned GFSI benchmarking. What exactly does GFSI benchmarking mean, and why did it allow Canada Gap to be applicable worldwide?
That's a great question. Jackie, do you want to start off, and then I can kind of come in from the opposite side as far as maybe some advantages?
So GFSI stands for Global Food Safety Initiative. So my understanding is all the big players around the world got together and they kind of said, how can we make sure when companies have these audits, whether it's a processing facility or a grower or a packing house, there's all these different audits out there. How do we know? How do we benchmark the audit, and how do we make sure their food is safe? Because there's so many audits out there. And then there's audits, obviously, that are country specific, like CFI or FDA. So they kind of got together and said, you know what, we need a benchmark where we can take audits, analyze them, and say, yeah, this meets our standard. This, if you can pass this audit, then we can reasonably count on you producing safe food. So GFSI stands for Global Food Safety Initiative. And Canada Gap was recognized as that. And I don't know if Heather Gale has time to throw another question in there, or if she can clarify and provide more information on that, or Chris.
I guess I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. I just got dead air there for a second. I didn't hear the second part of that. As far as, I guess just going back to what I said a second ago, as far as, you know, GFSI, those that aren't familiar with it, one way to maybe think about it, and, you know, granted, this is very elementary, I guess, explanation, but one good way to think about it is think about it like a passport to do business. You know, when you want to go out and you want to attract these new clients, especially the larger clients, you know, in this world of agriculture, you know, we're not the final step, right? Your farm is not the final step. Then you've got to send it out to packaging, or you've got to find end users like a Loblaw, or, you know, a Lidl, you know, whoever that is, Walmart. So once you start on your road to certification and GFSI certification, that's going to give you something that arms your sales team, or, you know, your procurement folks, to really go out and start selling your company based on the fact that, hey, we are going to have this GFSI certification. It hasn't happened yet, but can we please start the conversation for when we pass this to start bringing our products into your store? So, you know, the easiest way to think about, you know, something like a GFSI certification is simply just a passport to do business. Once you get this, there's going to be a whole new world of doors and customers that will meet with you, because they do require GFSI before they'll ever even take a first meeting with you. I'm sorry, I hope that answered that original part of that question, Amy.
I think it covers it pretty well. All right, I am seeing that there are a couple people have come in. Welcome. If you have any questions, I know we did go through our prepared slides quite quickly. If you had any specific questions, please go ahead and just type them into the questions tab on the control panel, and we're happy to take any questions you might have. Jackie, just in general, how long is a regular Canada Gap audit? Is it dependent on the size of the operation, the complexity? What kind of goes into calculating the length of the audit?
I'll jump in here real quick.
It depends on a couple
of different things, you know, products, size and scope of the facility, you know, some of those things. From a technical review process, you know, there are a lot of things on the back end. You know, we've got automated systems in place that kind of always keep you aware of where in the process your certificate is. But, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Jackie, but I think typically we say about 45 days between the audit until cert's really in hand. And that's just the going through, you know, our review, going through Canada Gap technical review. And so that's usually the time frame that we're seeing.
Yeah. And I think it was Amy's question, how long does a typical audit actually last? And it depends on the scope of the audit. However, typically between 4 to 8 hours, depending on the option chosen.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Jackie. There's a question here about numbers. How many, if you know the statistics, how many Canada Gap certificates are there, and like where are they mostly concentrated? Besides Canada, obviously, and I know the global option is newer. So how much action would you say this new option has had?
Oh, I can't answer that question. Canada Gap's been GFSI benchmark for quite some time. It's not new. Just the some different options have come up, as Heather explained. So, yeah, I have no idea. I can't answer that question, where the clusters are and outside of Canada where it's being used at this point. I'm not sure.
All right. Yeah, I did mean specifically the new options. I'm sorry, I wasn't more clear. Heather has chimed in again. Thank you, Heather. She says approximately 3,000 certificates to the person who asked, 10% are outside of Canada. So I think we really do need to lean on, Chris, our next webinar, Canada Gap, more than just for Canada.
I completely agree. Yeah, that's fantastic. And given the fact that we do have Canada Gap auditors both in Canada as well as the U.S., that also really makes a world of a difference.
Absolutely. And as I'm sure Chris would also say, we are more than happy to work out with any client who has an interest in it, no matter where they are. All right. I'm just checking to see if we've got any other questions. So if you still had one and you haven't asked it yet, please do send that in. If it's more of a sensitive question, maybe it's too complicated to ask in this tiny little text box, do feel free to reach out to Jackie or Chris. And we also included on your screen the contact info for Canada Gap itself. You can visit their website at canadagap.ca or email info@canadagap.ca. And I'm sure any questions you have will get directed to the correct person who can answer for you. And one more input from Heather, again, thank you. About 35% of the certificates are not of the GFSI recognized type. All right. It looks like we just had one more question pop in regarding hemp and cannabis under Canada Gap. Jackie, is Canada Gap applicable to hemp or cannabis agriculture?
I'm going to say I don't think so, but I honestly don't know the correct answer to that. Heather Gale for sure would, if she's able to give a response to that question.
Chime in, Heather.
Need to get a camera on Heather and just bring her in.
Heather, you're promoted from attendee to presenter. No, not to put you on the spot, Heather. Oh, all right. Heather has chimed in. They are currently investigating. So I will say the answer is a very healthy maybe. Maybe in the future we'll see a Canada Gap cannabis division or subsection. So, all right, if there are any other questions, please get those in or send them off to one of the email addresses on the screen. I haven't seen any other questions come in though, so I'm gonna go ahead and encourage everybody to download these slides so you can get the full breadth of information that Jackie shared with us today as we powered through to try and get to this Q&A, the more dynamic part of the presentation, of course. Those will be available, as I said before, on the pgrfsi.com website. If for some reason you can't find them on the website, please feel free to reach out. The contact information for PGRFSI is on our website as well, and we're happy to send that over to you. The recording of the session, as I also said, will be available for free on our YouTube channel, and that'll include the full voiceover, the Q&A, and the slides if you need to pause to read anything, that kind of thing. Great resources. And we also have the previous webinar with Heather Gale on our YouTube channel as well for you to review. So I'm going to say we're all wrapped up here. Chris, any final words from your side?
No, not at all. I think this was really great, a great overview. I do agree with you that maybe we can set another one up for just a little bit further down the road once people have had time to really, take in some of the changes and make some corrections to their site. I know that there'll be more questions coming up. So, I think that everyone that's here and, we'll of course promote this again in the future, but might be a great idea to kind of come back in and shorten this down to, as opposed to an overview, more so, very direct, this is the standard. So I love that idea. Please everyone be on the lookout, for your mailers when we do send out free webinar invites. You can join those anytime by joining. You will of course get the slide decks and things like that. So it's definitely beneficial, something that you could even use to train your own staff. So definitely be on the lookout for future iterations of Canada Gap.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. Jackie, any parting words of wisdom or sentiments for our audience today?
Yeah, well, no, I'd really like to thank everybody for their time. Add also that as Canada Gap for a consultant, Canada Gap, their website and their phone numbers provide excellent technical support. So, on top of all the resources they've given you with the manual and records that you can use in appendices, you can always call Canada Gap with a question and they will always call you back and you will talk to an expert in the field there to help you move forward. So, last thing to leave you with is it's for this GFSI audit standard, which can be overwhelming when a company's embarking on something they haven't done before. The support for this is really, really very good. And it's not gonna leave you hanging, wondering what you can do. And GCP Consulting, like I said, we've been doing this for many, many years. We can really facilitate a really smooth transition and effective training for your team using the resources provided by Canada Gap and moving forward. And GCP Consulting, we're always happy to ask any questions. So as Amy alluded to, any questions whatsoever, please reach out to me. And I would be more than happy to give my answers. And if I don't have the answers that you need, then I would reach out to Canada Gap and make sure I get you the correct answer. So thanks for your time, everyone.
Jackie, thank you so much for taking the time to work with us on this. We really appreciate it. And a little side shout out to Heather Gale. Jackie, Heather also just said that you did a great job highlighting the benefits of Canada Gap and explaining how it's different from other programs. So Heather, we likewise appreciate you and your little clarifications through the question box. We look forward to possibly working with you on another webinar in the future. We'll have to reach out with email. But to everybody who took the time to join us, and if you're listening to this recording later, thank you for watching. And we hope to see you on a future webinar. I hope you all have a great rest of your week and a great weekend. So stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.